Good morning, everybody. Of course, our study of Torah today should be in the schus of our soldiers, that they should finally be given the opportunity and the siyata deshmaya, the Ezrat Hashem, to succeed in battle. We always find ourselves in such difficult straits, but listen, this is it, that's the way it is. All right. Parashat Vayigash. Let's begin with a little bit of reading. Number one is in the middle of the great, dramatic, powerful speech that is made by Yehuda to this tyrannical ruler of Egypt who now wants to enslave Binyamin, and of course the prospect of their attempting to return home without Binyamin, their father will never be able to survive it. Va'ato, in the middle of the speech it says, Va'ato, kivoi al avdecha avi, now if I would come to your servant, my father, v'hamare nenu itanu, and the boy is not with us. Ve'izol de'evish de'hapitin v'nafsho kshuro v'nafsho. His soul is so bound up with his soul. How can we go home? And it will come to pass, when he will see Kiyenanar, the boy is not there for mate, he'll die from the shock, from the grief, from the terrible blow. We your servants, we're going to bring down the old age of your servant, our father, in sorrow. He'll go down to the grave in sorrow. Because your servant, that means Yehuda, is saying, I'm the one who guarantees. I guaranteed the safety of the boy. I promised that I'm going to bring him back. From my father saying, Im lo avienu elech, if I don't bring this boy back to home to you, v'chotasi lo avi kol hayomim, I will have sinned before my father all of my life. This is the plea. Now, what's necessary is the practical suggestion. What is Yehuda suggesting? Now he says, v'atomar yeshiv na'avdecho takatana, let your servant, me, Yehuda, let me stay in place of the boy Binyamin. I'm bigger than him, I'm stronger than him, I'm maybe smarter than him, I can serve you even better than he can. Eved la'adoni, I will be the servant to my master, that's you, Chofna Paneach. V'anar ya'olim echovin, the boy will go up with his brothers. Ki eich elo elovi, how can I go up to my father? V'hanare nenu iti, and the boy is not with me. Pene ered b'ro, lest I will see the evil. Ashi imtzoet avi, that will find my father. This is the end of the great plea of Yehuda. We are now just seconds away from the most dramatic scene in all of Tanakh, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised, it may be the most dramatic scene in all of literature. V'lo yochol Yosef lehitapek, and Yosef could not restrain himself. L'chol ha'nitzavim alav, the presence of all who were there, by Yikra, and he called out, Hotziu kol ish ve'olai, remove everybody from before me. V'lo amad ish ito, and no man stood with him, b'idvada Yosef el echov, when Yosef made himself known to his brothers. What drama! Vayiten et kolo b'vchi, and he cried out in a loud voice. Vayishmu Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim heard. Vayishma beit Paro, the house of Paro heard. They heard that Yosef was crying, and something extremely dramatic and powerful was taking place there. Vayomer Yosef, this is it. This is the greatest pasuk of them all. You know, they're all great psukim, but this is obviously This is a pasuk of such power. Ayomer Yosef Alechov, Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. Ha'od avi chai, is my father still alive? V'lo yachlu echov la'anot alto, and his brothers were unable to answer him. Ki niv ha'lu mi ponov. Because, our English translation says before, because they were left disconcerted before him. Disconcerted. Let me say, I am left disconcerted by this translation. Disconcerted. I made a study of this word nibhal. What does the word nibhal mean in Tanakh? Behala. Oy, you want to hear what I've come up with? King nibhal mipana. They can't answer him. It seems they can't speak. They're left speechless. Dumbfounded. Ki nivhalu miponav.
They can't give him some bar.
That's right. They couldn't say that. Speechless. In the Shira that we say every day, the Shira. Alright. Right, Nivhalu Alufei Edom. The princes of Edom were Nivhal. Now, what does it mean? Let's see the second half of the pasuk. Elei Moav, the mighty ones of Moav, Yochazemo Raad, were gripped with trembling. I think trembling is a little bit more. More powerful than disconcerted. Alright, wait a minute. And give me another few places. Where do you have the word?
Megillat Esther.
Twice in Megillat Esther. After Haman has gone, taken Mordecai through the streets, crying out, so shall be done to the man. It says that the officers, the servants of Esther and Ahasuerus came to take Vayivahalu et Haman. They brought him Vayivahalu et Haman. There the translation says, they hastened or they hurried. Now, if you want to get a little bit more a sense of the power of the word Nivhal, when finally Ahasuerus writes the second set of letters, the letters that are going to be sent out to 127 states, in which they give permission, you understand? Permission is given to Jews to defend themselves. By the way, we still have the same problem. We have to justify to the whole miserable world that we have a right to protect ourselves. Otherwise, what are you talking about? We're killers. We are massacres. It's brutality. Stop your stupid kassams and laza. But no. We need permission to protect ourselves. And here, finally, permission is granted. And it says, alright. The ones who ride the fast moving camels, Yotzu Mibo Halim Udechufim Bitvat Hamelech, they went Mibuhal in Dechufim. Here you get the sense of there's a message that has to get out. Lives depend on this message, and they're getting onto their camels and their horses, and they go out to mivo halim udechufim bitvar hamela. Vatos nitnavi shushan. And so, yeah, like Yehudim, how sorry to miss some of the stuff on your card game, the Elan, okay? Situation, okay? Here it is. There's a little bit more power to this. In other words, there's an extremely, extremely, you know what it's like? If you want to have a mushroom, what the roch they harekish, or a hash the rogin to they have about him. Paul Revere. The redcoats are coming. Can you imagine the behola? Now, in a sense, that behola can be a behala that is positive. It doesn't mean trembling. It doesn't mean being full of fear. It means a sense of great determination, something important that lives depend on it, has to be done. Urgent haste is how one of the English translations. Urgent haste. Yatsu mevo alimu d'chufim. I'll give you a number of the other meanings of the word panic, agony, anguish, bewildered, terrified, confused. For each one, there are a few sukkim in Tanakh. God confused them with your storm. And there we have it in Tachnun every day. You concealed your face from me, and I was terrified. The absence of God is a terrifying, terrifying experience for the Jew. In one place it's translated as to shudder with terror. What was it? Now you know why I made that face when I came to the translation of disconcerted. I think that all of the translations we said can apply right here. They are terrified. They have no idea. Do they have a right to assume? You know what? No. I'm going to ask you a question. No. Start all over again. Try, think for just 5 seconds before you answer. I'm taking a very big chance over here by throwing the floor open and letting people participate in this year. How do you think, if you would be one of the brothers, and you're standing there, and you hear this fellow saying, Ani Yosef, that's it. How would you feel? Don't be hasty, don't be midbo how to answer. How would you have reacted? What would have been your first powerful emotion? What would have been the second? All right? Here goes. I hope I didn't make a big mistake. Yeah, go ahead.
I wouldn't believe him.
You wouldn't believe him?
No.
All right? Go ahead. That's legitimate. Anything anybody says legitimate. Yeah, go ahead.
How could we have not seen it?
You're taking a page out of my book. That's very good. That's very good. I'll tell you in a moment what she said. All right, so we'll get it. Coming back to you in a moment, yes?
I feel very guilty because I know what I've done.
Okay.
Come out.
All right, okay, guilt. Okay, what did we have? We had, what was the first one again?
I couldn't believe it.
And the other is, how couldn't we recognize him? And here we're talking about guilt. Go ahead.
I feel like I want to go through the floor.
That's legitimate. I'm going to go through the floor. Yes?
Fear that he was going to get back at us.
Oh, fear that he's going to get back at us. Okay, good. Fear. Fear. Incidentally, the next time he talks, he's going to say to them, Ani Yosef Achichem. I am your brother Yosef. He didn't say that here. The first two words are Ani Yosef. There seems to be absolutely no indication of brotherhood or love or concern or care. Yes?
No, that's not quite true, because his next word is my father still alive.
All right, well,
that was the most important thing.
No, no, wait. There's no question about it, that the next three words, Ha'od of the Yichai, is my father still alive, are extremely important. But, you know, in order to get the full import of what's happening over here, I'm dealing with Ani Yosef first, and then we're going to deal with Ha'od Avi Chai. You want a second turn?
I think they felt all the emotions at once, and that was just concerning.
They felt all the emotions at all at once, and that was disconcerting. And I tell you the truth, when we finally go through all of the emotions, I think that you're absolutely right. And that's why the best word that could have been used to describe how they felt was the word Nivhal, because the word Nivhal encompasses within itself so many different meanings, so many emotions, powerful ones, but all of them are powerful. There are no paravah emotions in Nivhal. Nivhal is agony, anguish, urgent haste, hurried, rash, bewildered, terrified, confounded, shudder with terror. All of these I took directly out of translations of the Tanakh. I mean, I can give you, it happened to be the Sefer that has more, the word Nivhal more times than any other is Sefer Daniel. In Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar is describing his dream, his frightening and terrifying dream, and then there are a few other dreams in Daniel. They dream about all sorts of strange creatures. They all represent everything. It's terror over there. It's terror, and the terror, of course, brings to bewilderment. Yes. You could have stopped a few words earlier. In other words, the numbness means that's why they can't answer.
Dumbfounded.
What?
Dumbfounded.
Dumbfounded. I didn't use that word yet?
No.
No? I should have. Dumbfounded. Yeah, but the only thing is, yes, go ahead. So she said it. She said it. Now, of course, back on this side over here, on my left-hand side, we heard the idea that, God, they were so struck, how didn't we recognize it? That, of course, is the result of one of my better shiurim. And I'm not going to go into the that shiur. That shiur required an hour. And people disagreed with me about it. Not here. Other places they disagreed with. Until finally they realized that I had a point. I had given a shiur about half a year ago. Three quarters of a year ago. I gave a shiur saying that right over here on this pasuk, the pasuk before said Lo Yochel Yosef Litapek, Yosef was unable to control himself, and he says get everybody out of here, and nobody was present when he revealed himself. Do you know what the simple meaning of the text is? That if he could have controlled himself, he would not have revealed himself now. So I ask, what is he waiting for? How much suffering must he cause his brothers and his father? What's he waiting for? Mashiach to come before he's going to say that he's Yosef? What is he waiting for? So there are all sorts of affirmation, Rishonim v'Achronim, and I humbly have my own shot. Ramban says that when he saw his brothers the first time, when they stood before him, he remembered the dreams that he had. Oy, about the sheaves of grain that are bowing before him, the sun and the star, the sun and the moon and 11 stars. Ah, he's beginning to see the possibility of his dreams being fulfilled, so he does not reveal himself. He first wants to make certain that the dreams will be fulfilled. That's the sheet of the Ramban. I don't know, is that a reason why you can cause added pain? Why not tell them immediately, I'm Yosef, and let the father know that he's alive, the base a little, what's going on here? Yes?
He wanted to see if they still had that hatred towards him and towards Binyamin, the sons of Rachel. And he wanted to where they would show their true colors.
By the way, they do show their true colors to him every step of the way. That was the shear that I gave. Do you know what he's waiting for? Do you know what he would want more than anything else should be the final scenario over here? Hey! That's Yosef! How in heaven's name don't they recognize him? Don't tell me the Rashi. And I don't want to go into that shear. Don't tell me the Rashi that he left, he didn't have a beard, and now he does have a beard, so they can't recognize him. Ma'isim b'chol yom, every day we know of brothers and sisters who see each other again after 40 years, 50 years, they recognize one another. And here, I want to say that shir. I have a different shir today. I have a different shir. But I was saying that all along the way, if they can't recognize him, that means they've drummed him out of their consciousness. So he's dropping hints all along. He sends back double their money with them. They're invited to have dinner with him, and they come in, and they're seated according to their birthday. And they look at each other and they think, what's going on over here? Who knows our birthdays? And I had said then also, what was the biggest story of the Middle East? What was the biggest story in the world? About a slave Hebrew that had become the second in command in the greatest kingdom civilization of the ancient world. What world are the brothers living in? They didn't put one and one together to get two. They don't know that some slave kid is the one who is the power of Egypt. What's going on? Yosef craves more than anything else exactly what he had said when he started out on this great adventure. He started out 22 years earlier. His father sends him to Shechem to see how his brothers are and the sheep. And he gets lost in the field. He doesn't know where they are. And behold, a man comes over to him in the field and says, what is it that you seek? And you know what he said? Et achai anochi mevakesh. I'm looking for my brothers. You know what he wants to see? Brotherhood. He wants to feel that there's a relationship, and the idea that they can't recognize him is something that's driving Yosef to absolute distraction. He wants to wait every minute and he thinks, this is it. Why should this Egyptian ask, do you have a father or do you have a brother? How is your old father? I bring your brother here. And then when he arrests them all, and then he lets them go, he says, Elokim anochi yorei, I fear God. You know what Yosef is doing? He's strewing the whole area with clues in the hope that one of them will say, hey, you hear that thought? That's Yosef! That's the way he wanted it to end. Not the way it ended by him saying, Ani Yosef. So obviously, that's why she's saying, you know what shakes them up? they've been dealing with this man for such a long time. They've been in his presence time and time again. And nobody was able to recognize him. And I say that the punishment of the brothers was, until their dying day, they'd get up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. Shomu Shamayim, God in hell, how didn't we recognize our own brother? What happened to us? Yes?
Well, I think that said this before, that I believe that Yehuda does recognize him as Yosef. I believe that. For a second.
All right, yeah.
Because the question is that, again, I think the goblet was the key, because that goes back to Rachel.
Kenny, I love you, Kenny, but you're going in a far afield. There may be place for what you're saying next week's shiur. I'm making sure you come to next week's shiur, because then it's going to be the, I think it'll be Yehuda and Yosef. But I don't agree with that, and we're still good friends. I love you. I talk, Kenny.
The question is Yosef looking for tshuva on their part, or just recognition?
Well, I can't answer that question. You know why? Because I gave two shiurim. One shiur in which I said that Yosef wants to lead them down the path to tshuva. Yeah? And the second is, he wants recognition. And by the way, the two don't contradict one another. If they can't recognize him, their tshuva is meaningless. If tshuva can bring them back to the state that they can say, this is our brother. Okay. I've been too good to you today. I've been too good. Now get this, Lachili. Ani Yosef. So that was, what word would we use for that? Consternation. Like, how didn't we recognize him? Guilt? Oh, they remember, it's been at the top of their consciousness what they did to their brother. They have suffered for 22 years. They suffered Yisure Nefesh, terrible, terrible torment because of what they did to their brother. They're the ones who had to see their father 22 years. He is in mourning, inconsolable. Now, there's another possibility. There's one possibility that nobody here picked up on. Before they had come down to Mitzrayim, their father sends them back. The situation in the house of Yaakov is not what it had been at the beginning of the famine. At the beginning of the famine, when he sent them the first time, Sarashi says, you know, Yaakov didn't want that people should be aware of the fact that they do have grain. So go join the masses that are going to Mitzrayim to buy. The second time they go down, they're running out of food and they need it. It's already 2 years, they need food. They need food. Now, they've come down the second time, they get all of the grain, they leave on their way home. Can you imagine the joy, the elation? We're going to make it home before the food runs out, and there's going to be happiness in the house. We're going to be able to feed men, women, children, the whole family of Yaakov. That was great joy. And that joy is cut down so swiftly when they are pursued and they find the cup amongst the possessions of Binyamin, and they're all brought back and they understand now, what are going to be their choices? They may all be imprisoned here. The food that they have may never arrive home. A sense of such terror overcomes them. And every minute that this conversation is going on between Yehuda and Yosef, They're all thinking, will we ever get out of here? We may never, ever get out of here. And who knows what's going to happen with our families over there. Isn't it possible when they hear the two words, Ani Yosef, sense of profound relief, we're going to make it home. Joy. Somebody's going to be able to get there and bring all the provisions that are necessary for the family. The point that I want to make is that there are so many possible reactions and responses. There are so many feelings that can be going on. And by the way, as I say, it may be all of them. Maybe the fear, the terror, the guilt. Terror? I mean, everything. Yes.
Before he said, I am Joseph, he was crying. He was weeping. He told everyone to leave. And so it fits into what you said. He wanted his brother to be loved. He wanted
his It's not always clear what one is crying about. I would not be terribly certain about how somebody else who's seeing him crying, and according to many of the Mefarshim, he was crying before they removed everybody from his presence. That's how the house of Paro knew about it, that something is going on, because they see the most powerful man in Egypt is crying. They can't be sure what it is. Alright? See what it means? The range of emotions. Oh, God. But wait a minute. Rashi is going to say something that I don't think anybody here said. We wouldn't have even dreamt of it. Number 6, Nihalumi Panov. They were left terrified before him. Mipneha Busha. Would we have thought of using that word? They're terrified, they're upset. The words, they're going through anguish. They're confounded. They shudder, they're bewildered. Rashi says, "Mipneha busha," shame. Wow. Do you understand what Rashi had to do? Rashi, in order to say "Mipneha busha," Rashi had to take all of the other possible feelings, reactions, emotions, and either reject them, or maybe they're all. They can all be subsumed under the heading of the Pnei HaBusha. The Pnei HaBusha. So we have to spend a few minutes finding out what's the significance of Busha. Shame. Embarrassment. I think it would have even been easier to them to say that they felt relief. Or that they felt fear. But that they felt Busha. I think that this speaks so highly of the brothers. Their reaction is not the simple reaction of anybody who would be in a situation of the sort. It was Bnei HaBusha. Very good, Mr. Weiss. Good. And yeah, you said guilt over there. Busha is what comes after guilt. And if you turn over second side, well, we have so much to do on the first one. Look up. Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, the great sefer of Tshuva. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that there are a series of feelings that one goes through in the process of Tshuva. And the highest. Number 6. The highest. Ha'ikar ha'shishi ha'busha. Busha. Shame. Kinyin shenemar, as it says, Yirmiyahu says, Boshti v'gam nichlamti Ki nasasi cherpat ne'urah. Yes, I was ashamed, even confounded. I don't like that translation either. Ki nasati cherpat ne'urah, because I carried the shame, the embarrassment of my youth. V'inei achote, the one who sins, yevosh miod, la'avara v'yadav l'fnei b'nei adam, the person who sins is embarrassed of sinning in the presence of mortals, human beings. V'kolein, and he will be shamed and embarrassed. In yargishu v'yakidu ba'avedotav, if they will recognize and see that he's sinning. V'eichlo yevosh min Hashem yizbarach, how is it possible for the sinner not to be embarrassed before the Holy One, Hashem Yitbarach? Ve'enze kim lufi hayot Hashem Yitbarach v'chot v'kilel tov. It's only the reason why there may not be shame of God. We're naturally ashamed of doing something wrong in the presence of the fellow human beings. But we don't pay much attention to the fact that, well, we're never alone because God is with us. He says, V'lo alkein yevosh, because God is far from his mind. Alkein yevosh mit hanibrayim, he is ashamed from those who from fellow creatures. V'lo yevosh mit haboreyit barach, and he's not ashamed of the Creator. May he be blessed. V'amru rabbeinu zechrono livracha, rabbis of blessed memory said, ki b'shat p'tirat Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Gemara in Bracha says, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was about to die, amru lo talmidav, his student said to him, Rabbeinu, our Rebbe, borcheinu, give us a bracha. Amar lehem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, giant, a colossus who stands over Klal Yisrael for all time. And his students are obviously great, great Jews. And they said, give us a bracha. Amal Hansi said to them, Yehi Ratzon Sheh Mora Shamanim Aleichem Kemora Basa Adam. Let the fear of God be upon you like the fear of men and flesh and blood. So they said to him, Revenu Rabbeinu, Ad Kan V'lo Yoter, that's all you want of us? That we should fear God like we fear human beings? Amal Hansi, he said to them, Halavai, if only we will be able to fear God the way we fear human beings. Teidu? Proof? Shadei Odom over Aveda Beseser? Here, I did it again. I can't do this at 3 o'clock in the morning. You understand? I can't do this at 3 o'clock in the morning. Shadei Odom over Aveda Beseser? And he's not, embarrassed by it. He's not embarrassed. And you see, later it says, V'chein Matzinu, after the next paragraph, V'chein Matzinu B'shol, we find by Shol, said, V'lo anoni od gam b'yad ha'nabiyim, gam b'halomot, V'lo hiski u'rem etumim kinit, b'yesh l'hazkiran. When Shol brings Shmuel up from the dead, he goes to the witch of Endor. He needs Shmuel. Nobody answers him. Nobody tells him what's going to be. So he brings the... he does something that is prohibited by Torah. And who does he bring up? Shmuel comes up and is standing before him. The image of Shol, the Shmuel. And he says, Why did you cause me to tremble and bring me from the grave? So he said, nobody answered me, neither the prophets, nor by dreams. One thing he didn't mention, he could have gone to the Kohen Gadol and asked for the Kohen Gadol to tell him what's going to happen in battle through the Urim V'Tumim. He didn't do that. You know why? Because Shaul had massacred Nob, the city of Kohanim, and he was embarrassed. Because Shmuel would have told him, of course, you think the Urim and the Tumim are going to answer you? All right. Okay. I'm going to take. Go ahead. Kenny first, and you're next.
I think what the sense that disturbs me is when Yosef reveals himself, he says, "I am Yosef," but he continues and he says, "My father and I." Now that is disconcerting because we know that his father's alive. And that
don't go a step further. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. That's supposed to be the main part of the shiur. I've only, as I always do, I go off on tangents until I come to the shiur. What's he saying? Ani Yosef. I'm Yosef. Ha'od Avi Chai? Is my father still alive? Do you know what the whole first part of the Seder, what is Yehuda telling him? Yehuda's telling him, I can't go back home. I'm going to cause such pain to my father. I'm going to kill him. Everything, the whole speech of Yehuda is dependent on one fact, that the father is alive. So what's Yosef saying? Andi Yosef, ha'od Avi Chai, is my father still alive? That's your question? All right. We'll get back to it in a moment, yes?
Yes. Rabbi Cohen?
Yes?
Question on the Harusha. Is this a court judgment now in the Beit Din? Would that be used as a judgment against a guilty party?
What? Busha?
Yes.
No. This is between men and God, not between men and fellow men. Yes?
I think what he's doing is he's caused them so much busha. I think this is his own busha that he even has to ask a question like that because he never communicated with his father all these years. So his busha is that he has to say, even after he's heard it 100 times, that my father's still alive.
I hear. But there happens to be one of the great pieces of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi was the first Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the great grandfather of the our Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. The Beis Halevi, the first Rabbi Yosef Dov, his son was Rabbi Chaim, the great Rabbi Chaim of Brisk. His son was Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik's son was Rabbi Yosef Ber, Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. So the Beis Halevi asks this question, what do you mean, Ani Yosef? And then he says immediately afterwards, how does he tell you? Is my father still alive? For a moment. Look at number five. Look at number five. The Midrash Rabbah, Esau, Pasuk said, the Midrash Rabbah says on this pasuk, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai. Famous statement of the rabbis. Omar Abba Kohen Bardala. Abba Kohen Bardala said, Oy lanu mi yom adin, woe unto us from the day of judgment. Oy lanu mi yom hatochacha, woe is to us from the day on which we are going to be admonished. Yosef, Katnan shall shvatin, Yosef, one of the youngest of the tribes, lo yachu echov lanos, also his brothers weren't able to answer him, ki nipalu mipana, because they trembled before him. Oyle kishe yavu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come, and we are going to stand for judgment before him, v'yochiach l'kol echod l'fi mashehu, and God is going to admonish and he's going to chastise and he's going to rebuke everybody according to what he is. Shenema, as it says, the pasuk in Tilim, Olchi Chacha, I am going to admonish you, Ve'ercha, and I will place your judgment le'inecha before your very eyes. Oy Allah has come over Kama, very, very, very. If the brothers of Yosef became so terrified from before Yosef, when he chastised and admonished and rebuked them, how can you imagine what's going to happen to us when we have to stand before the bar of heavenly justice? So the Mefarshim asks, where did Yosef rebuke them? Did he say you're bad? Did he say you did a terrible thing? Later he's going to say, "L'matem shlachtem odihena, you didn't send me here. God sent me here. This was all the divine. Don't feel bad about it. Come on, guys." So where did he rebuke them? Where's the rebuke? And then the Midrash says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rebuke each person l'fi mashehu, according to what he is. What does that mean, according to what he is? And then, of course, the question that we hear, the Cain question. What do you mean, Ha'od Avichai? What kind of silly question is that? That's what we've been telling you the whole time. Everything is predicated on the fact that Father is still alive. Ah. It's such a powerful, powerful medrash.
Maybe he knows that he's alive.
Huh?
Maybe he knows that he's
Well, that's one answer. We'll give another one. You know what he's doing to them? When he says Ha'od Avichai, here you read through Yehuda's speech. It's powerful. We read a few of the psukim. Eich el Elohi. How can I go up to my father and the book is not with me? I'm going to bring my father down into the grave. I can't do that. Let me make believe that I'm Yosef. Yehuda, get off it. I'm me Yosef. I'm Yosef. My father's still alive? Why didn't you think about it when it was me? He survived that? What are you giving me these crocodile tears? Never. The poor father, he won't be able to take it. It's impossible. I can't go back to my father. Why didn't you think that when you were standing by the pit? Hey, how will I go back home and Yosef is not with me? Do you know what he did in those three words? Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive? He took Yehuda's great speech and he crushed it into the dust in a single instant of time. You know what he's telling him? He's telling him, you are so full of an inner contradiction. All of a sudden, I'm supposed to get all shook up over here. I'm the ruler of Egypt. I have to get all shook up about your old tata. You understand? Your old tata. He doesn't have to say any more than Ha'od Avichai. You know what it really means? And this is where the Mefarshim and the Beis Halevi and others go on and they say, you know what it means? Very often, and we have this experience on much smaller levels usually in our own lives. Sometimes you think such and such. And you get upset with somebody, he did this, he said that, he heened, he had. And I don't know, sometimes it can be years later, you find out, those weren't the facts. I had it all wrong. I had it all wrong. There are times people can go through a whole life, and sometime toward the end, they find out that what they believed in was absolute falsehood. I was thinking about it this morning. The third most popular, famous, and beloved person in the Soviet Union or Russia is Joseph Stalin. There were those, of course, who worshipped the son of the nations, the great god of communism. I could say he was worse than Hitler. 30 million people he killed.
His own people.
30 million his own people he killed. So now, there were, of course, when he came crushing down, people began to find out the truth. There were worshipped millions upon millions of communists throughout the world that were shattered. Everything they believed in, it was all shattered. It's a terrible thing to reach a person, a moment in life at which you see you live the false of your whole life. It's a terrible, terrible thing to live with, and it happens to us. It happens to us. Do you know what happens over here? 22 years, they're sort of living some kind of a life, and two words, two words shatter everything. Everything. Ani Yosef. You know what it means? Why did they want to sell him? What did they say when they saw him coming that day toward them at Dothan? Hinei bal hachalomot harazeba. The fellow who dreams the dreams is coming. Let's see what's going to be with his dreams. We'll show him what's going to be with his dreams. But watch what happens. He has such a sense, you can call it humor, or a sense of justice. Do you know what they realize as they hear him say, Ani Yosef? We wanted to make sure that his dreams were never going to be fulfilled. And we are the ones who caused them to be fulfilled. We sold him to Egypt. He became the second in command. He has saved Egypt. And we're bowing down before him. And we thought, we're the Kaiser Chachomim. We're going to make sure that those dreams are not going to be filled. He made Bal Hachalomot Halazeba. This great dreamer is coming over here. Nidah, we will see. Ma Yihidu Halomotav. What are going to be his dreams? By the way, it takes a certain amount. It takes a certain amount of honesty to be able to realize that your dreams are shattered. Not everybody is honest enough. Because people have difficulty telling themselves, we made a horrible mistake. The halls of power in this country should be filled with people clapping our head. Our boys are going to go into battle. Because you messed everything up. You've been telling us for years there's going to be peace. We're going to throw 10,000 Jews out of their homes and we're going to make this a better democracy than it ever was. We're going to make it a Jewish state. And we yelled and we screamed and we told you, no! You're going to turn it into a terrorist entity and they're going to come down on us. How many people are ready to admit and say, and by the way, they didn't know all along. All you had to do is read the Jerusalem Post every day. And you knew what was happening, with all of the tunnels, and all of the equipment that was coming in. Why didn't they stop it? Why didn't they go in and stop it? Because they would have to admit that their leaving Gaza was a tragic mistake. People can't admit the truth. The brothers are nivhal. You know why they're nivhal? Final analysis. They're honest people. They realize that they made a terrible, terrible mistake. They didn't know how terrible. They knew already before. They wanted to do something. They felt bad about Mechiras Yosef. But they didn't know that with their attempt to frustrate God's plans, you know what God did with them? He turned them into the instruments of his plan. Isn't that unbelievable? God, we're selling him off to slavehood and nobody will ever hear about him again. And here they're standing in front of this fellow who is the power of the whole world. Ani Yosef. Those two words send a shudder of fear and terror through their hearts because they made a mistake. They made a tragic mistake. You can't frustrate God's plans. And anybody who thinks that he's able to do that is making a tragic mistake. I will never forgive Barak and a bunch of others. Chusla chalom Eretz Yisrael hashleva. The dream of greater Eretz Yisrael is ended. Shaitin shevayelam. You're going to frustrate God's plans. You know what? He's going to make it that you're going to eat your words, and you're going to have to be the one who's going to conquer back every bit of Eretz Yisrael that you gave away. You're going to become the instrument of God's plan. You can't. After 2,000 years, or after 4,000 years from Avraham Avinu, the Rebbeinu decided he's giving Eretz Yisrael to his people. That's exactly what he did. The Rebbeinu finally took a look at the Chumash again, and the Rebbeinu's Chumash has Rashi in it too. And Rashi says that Torah was written to tell us that Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. So he decides, you know, hey, we got to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. Last few weeks I've been reading a book. Now you may be wondering, what does it take me a few weeks to read a book? Because it takes me a few weeks to read a book. I mean, I have a lot of things to do, and this is a book. And by the way, a book that every so often there are people who leave books over here. Hefka, anybody who wants can take here in the
lobby
here, sir. So here's a book I'm reading, The Secret Roads. It's the story of the illegal immigration to Eretz Yisrael during and after the Second World War. First of all, make sure that you have a lot of Kleenex with you if you ever get your hand on the book. Because you're going to need it. You're going to get choked up time and time again. It is a story of such bravery, such heroism. And of course, I have to say on each page, Baruch Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shlom, the fellow who wrote the book, didn't know too much about the Rebbeinu Shlom. But it's an awesome story. The time had come for Jews to go back, and they're going to make their way back. God was missing with the flaws for this stuff. They're going to become the instruments of making sure that Eretz Yisrael HaShlema is going to be ours. Because they're living a mistake. They think that you are able to undo that which God has done. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. It never will work. Ani Yosef, two words. And in these two words, I would say sort of 22 years flash before their eyes. What can you say under such circumstances? What can you say? There is nothing more than absolute silence. Nivalu mipanav. Lo yachlu lanos. They couldn't answer. There was nothing that they could say. Nothing that they can say, and they're not going to be able to speak until Yosef begins the process of calming them down. He knows that they are now in a state of shock. I don't think I used that word yet. Maybe I'd save that word for the end. They're in a state of shock. Nivalu mipanav. The power of truth. So Ashrei, fortunate is the person who is able to achieve a knowledge of the truth at some kind of an early, relatively early stage in life, and doesn't have to wait for who knows at what moment at which to find out. There are so many things. I mean, the chalal about Torah, about mitzvahs, about how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. I see sometimes in. Just one example, I don't know why this comes to my mind now. There can be struggles and muhammas in families, and it takes the neshama and the kishkis and out of every member of the family. Bernie Madoff didn't know that the moment was going to come at which the truth would be revealed. Where was the busha? If one would have just had a sense of shame, I'm going to be found out. So you don't care about God finding you out. But man is going to find you out. How do you think you're going to get away with it? And then the moment comes. the moment comes and the truth in all of its ugliness comes pouring out. So, a life that was lived and what? Lived a lie. A person can live a life of rejecting and denying Torah or mitzvahs, and he may be fortunate enough at some moment in life to realize, hey, it's a mistake. And he becomes a Shomer Shabbos, and he starts eating kosher, he'd be able to put everything behind him and see it. And I was speaking, my wife and I were speaking with a number of young yeshiva from the United States. They described to us the temptations and the pressures upon young people in the United States today, and most probably all over the world, but I don't know. It's awesome. That so many that are living a life of zero, of nothing. And if they don't end up with an overdose, maybe someday there will be a moment at which they're going to be able to see the clarity of the truth. They'll see the truth. And me, Yosef, those two words are clarion call. You have to see the truth. And whatever you attempt to do to frustrate God's plan, it will not work. That he should watch Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, Yishmor Aleihem. Listen, our young people are then the ones that are going to have to carry the brunt of the tragic mistakes of the leadership. The three people that were killed yesterday by rockets, the government is guilty of those deaths. Those rockets shouldn't have been where they were. Unfortunately, there's enough guilt to go around. All right, so thanks for Hashem, Hashem, Yivarech, 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 Hashem, Yiv